One other thing I wanted to mention this morning about our community day is this. James has prepared some signs. We have some yard signs that we want you to know about. Now, we only have 24 or 25 at the most of these, and we don't have a plan to have more than that, at least right now. So 24 or 25, they need to be reserved for people in high traffic areas, as you can understand. There you go. We're going to sell Eddie one for a lot of money. And if you're in a high traffic area, in a close proximity to Center Chapel, we appreciate your willingness to help. But if you're in a more remote location, 25 minutes from here, that's probably not what we need. We got 24, 25 of these. If you're interested in one of those, then place it in your yard and advertise our day. We would appreciate it. You can see James for one of those signs. We wanted you to know about that. This morning, we are sort of going off of a theme that I'm calling us to. In fact, I started to call the lesson this morning me too. And then I thought about having a slide up that said us too, God's original, or the original, Me Too movement. So as you watch the news lately, you see and have heard maybe occasionally about something they are calling the Me Too movement. This is a desired focus on sexual abuse, sexual harassment, that sort of thing in our culture. Obviously, too much of that stuff has taken place, and this lesson this morning is not about that, but to introduce what we're doing, I wanted to introduce that concept and bring that to your remembrance. You've seen a lot of that in the news, and so those that have pressed this lately have decided to call it a Me Too movement, and that's where someone else says, add me to that group, add me to that list, I too suffered that type of unfortunate situation or abuse. Nobody's ever even thought of a movement before our great God. Our God is the expert in starting a movement. Before the foundations of the earth were laid, He had you in mind. And that as He laid those foundations and as He created the human race and breathed life into them, He had a people in mind that He would draw back unto Himself. God is the originator of the greatest movement in the history of man and the only movement that lasts. God is the originator and the author of the eternal movements of earth. And God is the originator of the original Me Too, or as we consider ourselves individually, but part of a body, the body of Christ, the Us Too movement. I want you to think about that as we move through the thoughts that we have prepared this morning. God created us to have community. And we're going to be projecting in a few minutes some passages of Scripture. We're going to do it a little bit differently today. Everything I say is not going to be on the screen as it often is. God created us to have community. He created us to be in community. It was not good that man should be alone. He'd create a help suitable for him. He did. He brought made a woman and He brought her to the man. Gave the first woman to be married to the first man. And in doing so, God doesn't just ordain and authorize and smile upon the institution of marriage. He smiles upon and ordains that we are to be community. Man was never meant to be alone. In Psalm 133 and verse 1, how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. We were meant to be in community. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. Brethren, if you see somebody overtaken in a fault, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of meekness, watching yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Paul told the community of God's people in Galatia, in Galatians 6, 1 and 2 again, he told the community of believers that they had a purpose in community. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. In Romans chapter 12, also in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we are reminded, the church is reminded, that the body is one but has many members, and not all members have the same function. And by the time you get over to the Corinthian discussion of the same idea, he says God has arranged each one in the body just as He so desired. God is the originator of community. It was His intent. We were not supposed to attempt to do this thing alone. He is the originator of an us two movement. You can go to the Old Testament. Before you look at a study of the Lord's church and its establishment in Acts chapter 2, you can go to the Old Testament with simple phrases like, "Let my people go." God had a people. That's a community. That's a grouping. That's an intention. And it was for their good. You can stay in the Old Testament. You go to passages from Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 through 12. You can go to Leviticus chapter 19, verses 15 through 18. And you can see God's intent for community. The Passover and the instructions they were given in the Old Testament at Passover time were all about identification of a community. God is the originator of an us too, and a me too, and a community in His intention. When you go over to the New Testament, there are equal number, if not more, examples of God's intention that we are in an us too movement. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 1, they were all together just prior, immediately prior to the establishment on the day of Pentecost, the establishment of the kingdom of God, the Lord's church. Understand, when you read about the kingdom of God in Scripture, most of the time with what we're looking at, it's already come. It's not something to come. It has come. The Lord's church, the kingdom of God. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 1, they were all together in one place. God is the original me too, us too movement. And it was the original me too, us to intention. What kind of community are we to be? You've heard announcements lately, and we put out some church emails and some Facebook things, and we're going to have some videos out over the next week or two, more coming about Community Day, so that you can forward those on to people that you would like to advertise this thing to. We're talking about Community Day. But today, we're talking about a certain community. And it's not the Mount Juliet community. And it's not the community in which you grew up, unless you've grown up a part of God's family. What kind of community are we to be? Well, we're a community of struggle. The first thing I want to shake in front of you this morning is that we are a people of struggle. You don't get this many people together and it not be true that throughout this building and throughout those that are part of our congregation that couldn't be with us today, I know of several people that are out of town, several families that are out of town. We got others that have been in the hospital or still in the hospital, about to go to rehabilitation. We've got others that are sick at home. But in everybody here and everybody there, as a community, we are a body. Or as a body, rather, we are a community of pain. We're a body and a community of doubts. We're a body and a community of hurts. We're a body and a community, occasionally, of people that have issues in their marriage. We're a body or a community of people going through grief. We're a body of people that occasionally struggle with children. And in this body, in this community, guess what two words can often, honestly be uttered? Whether it's something someone's going through financially, whether it's something someone's going through in grief, trouble with a child, pain, illness, loss, doubt. There's somebody, in fact, there are many people in the community of believers that can say, me too. And that's why God intended us to be not alone, but community. One body, many members, different functions, different backgrounds, but me too. And then we can say to the world, us too. The world needs to understand that we're not here because we're celebrating a life that has always been and will always be free from problems. The world needs to know, hey, me too. The world needs to know, hey, us too. We're not here celebrating our perfections. We're not here celebrating our perfect health. We're not here celebrating our tremendous financial portfolios. We're not here celebrating the fact that nobody that's ever been a member of this congregation has ever had a problem with his child. And if you'll come to this place, you too can be wealthy, healthy, and everything else. I'm sorry, my name's not Joel. Let that sink in. Me too. Us too. We're people of struggle. And it brings to mind passages of great comfort in a people of struggle, like the one from 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and we're in verses 3 through 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, 3 through 7. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our affliction so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's suffering, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. Our hope is for you. Our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that you share in our sufferings. You also share in our comfort. Us too. Me too. We are a people of struggle. And because we are a people of struggle, we are to be a people of comfort. We are also a community not only of struggle, we're a community of survival. Throughout struggle, in the face, despite struggles, we are a community about survival. Well, I'm not talking about being able to outlive anything. I'm not saying that God has promised that because I've become His child, I am guaranteed 70. I've told you before, I've used the number 7. I could use the number 9 if I just take the number up of 6 years. I've said before that I lost 7 personal friends between my and their ages 14 and 34. If you want me to go up to 40, I can go to 9. If you want me to go to 50, I can go to 11. I'm not talking about somebody I just knew. I'm talking about a friend. I'm talking about people two in which were supposed to be at my house, and the first recognition we knew something was wrong is they didn't show up. Two different wrecks, two different motorcycle wrecks in different years, both on the way to my house. I'm talking about people quite young, college age. I'm talking about young adults. And again, up to age 34, or if you want to go up to age 40, 9. If you want to go up to age 50, 11 people. These aren't 70 people. I'm not talking about outliving struggles, numerically speaking, in terms of years of life. In a community of struggle, when I say we are also a community of survival, a community that overcomes, I'm thinking about our struggles in humanity. Our struggles in humanity as it relates to being people of faith and faithful or faithfulness. I think about people like David in the Old Testament who had embarrassing failures. I think about people who later, though, was called man after God's own heart. He's not a man after God's own heart because God was approving or overlooked his tremendous embarrassing sins. We're not talking about God's approval or overlooking. In fact, he did just the opposite. To think otherwise says you don't know a thing about David. Oh no, just the opposite. Because he refused to stay there, because he overcame that by refusing to stay there. We call that repentance in the New Testament. Then God continued to use him and blessed him. I think about David. I think about people like John Mark and his failure on a missionary journey, or what should have been, would have been, a great missionary opportunity for him, and how he turned back, he got homesick or whatever you want to call it. And to some degree, he failed. But how even later, the one who had the disagreement about taking him a second time said, "Bring him, he's useful to me now." John Mark overcame whatever his struggle was in faith and opportunity earlier. I think about people like Paul and his tremendous resume and his tremendous sincerity. But listen, Paul, above maybe anybody else in Scripture, teaches us this. And you need to remember this, and you need to make sure the world knows this, and your friends know this, and maybe family members know this. You can be sincere and can be sincerely wrong. Sincerity does not remove wrong. Sincerity is not all that matters before God. If you believe that this morning, I want you to show me your doctrine from a biblical text when we get done here today. You're not going to find it. It's not there. And I don't care how you were raised or what you were taught. There's nothing in the New Testament that teaches that principle. And there's plenty in the New Testament that teaches something else. Paul, sincere, but sincerely wrong as Saul, and used as the apostle of the Gentiles. And who can forget Peter in Luke chapter 22, verse 54 through the end of the chapter, and his denial of Jesus? I don't know the man. We're a community of struggle. But throughout Scripture, and even throughout history, God's people have shown themselves not only to be a community of struggle, but in the midst of struggle, to be able to be a community of survival. We're a people, not only of struggle and a people of survival, but we're a people of sin. Hey, me too. Us too. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, as you know, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." And I want you to know that that verse, that passage in its original setting, in the original language of the Greek, is written in a particular tense that means continual action. For all have sinned, and all keep on falling short of the glory of God. As long as we live and breathe, we have the opportunity by our humanity, by our weakness, in our being finite creatures and limited creatures, we'll keep on falling short occasionally of the glory of God. Now, we can do that less. Oh, yes, you can. And oh, yes, we should. As we said before, we cannot be sinless, but we can sin less. Right? But a people of struggle, yeah, us too. A people of survival, hey, me too. A people of sin, absolutely. Scripture refers that to this, that each has turned to his own way. Think about certain sins related maybe to the tongue. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. But we do. Did you ever say something, you say, I wish I had that one back? Have you ever said anything to anybody, and almost immediately, and certainly at some point down the line, if not immediately, said, I wish I had that one back? Yeah, I would think most of us would admit that. And the rest of you should. Yeah, me too. We're a people of sin. Have no other gods before me. We've committed that sin. And you know how? It's because really in the Hebrew, when you look at that in the Old Testament, you shall have no other gods before me. It's no other gods but me. That's what's there. That's the intention. No other gods. It's not numeric. It's not placement. It's only. And we're people of sin because we hadn't always done that. We're people of sin, maybe not just in the use of the tongue, maybe not just in priority and having other gods, little g, but maybe in being a people that occasionally are more interested in getting than giving. And you think about the rich young ruler. And you think about passages like from Luke chapter 12. I'll tear down my barns and I'll build bigger barns. That's the passage where Alan read just a little bit ago from Ephesians chapter 4. We're people not only of struggle and a people of survival through that struggle, but we're people of sin. We can say us too. In Luke chapter 12, he told them a parable saying, the land of a rich man produced plentifully. And he thought to himself, what shall I do? For I've got nowhere to store my crops. And he said, I'll do this. I'll tear down my barns and I'll build larger ones, and there I'll store all my grain and all my goods. And I'll say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool. This night your soul is required of you. The things you have prepared, whose will they be? You're a fool. To think that you can say, I'll just do this. I'll be set. Thou fool, this very night your soul may be required. What's going to happen to all your stuff? Sometimes we're a people of sin because we're into stuff. We're into getting instead of giving. So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Us too. A people of struggle. A people of survival. A people of sin. And then I think about what our Lord did with Peter. You remember when Jesus said, if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive your trespasses. Let me say that again. I want you to understand that that is not optional. If you do not forgive men their trespasses against you, neither will your heavenly Father forgive your trespasses. And you know what we too do all too often as a people? We say, it's almost as if we say to the Lord, but Lord, no, let me explain this to you. Lord, let me explain to you. Seriously? Let me explain to you what was done to me. Lord, let me explain to you what they said. Lord, let me explain to you how hurtful that was. Lord, let me explain to you the domino effect that came throughout our family through all that and because of all that. Let me explain to you, seriously? So when Jesus said that, he knew about everybody's coming situation but yours. Right? He knew about everybody's coming situation except yours, and you need to explain it to him as to why you don't need to have to do that. Now, us too, the people of God, have sometimes been people of sin in that way too. And then at the close of John chapter 20, Jesus restored Peter after his dramatic, embarrassing fall, after his denial. Jesus restored Peter to preach the greatest sermon and the most important sermon ever known to man in Acts chapter 2. Even though he could only honestly say, "Me too." And I think about passages like Colossians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. There are certain four-letter words that are okay to say, that are hard to hear, and I suppose, apparently, easy to misunderstand. Not really, but we choose to misunderstand. One of those is in that verse. Can you find it? M-U-S-T. That's a four-letter word to some people. I don't like the concept of must. I must. But it's there. And folks, we've got to deal with what's there. Not with our explanations to God as if He doesn't understand way back when He said what He said. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. So we are a people, us too, of struggle. We can identify not only with one another, but we can identify with the world. And they need to know that. We're a people of survival, though, through that struggle, through what God places in our lives when we become His children to allow us to survive and overcome sin. We're a people of sin. Peter went outside and wept bitterly. Have you ever done that? I don't mean because somebody said something to you. I mean, have you ever gone outside figuratively or literally? Have you ever gone outside and wept bitterly over your sin? Over the embarrassment and the sorrow of your sin? And he went outside and wept bitterly. Can you say, "Me too"? If you can't say that, then I want to pray, and I want our people to pray, that our people understand the seriousness of sin and the offense it is to the infinitely holy God. Have you wept over your sin? But the Me Too, Us Too movement has its credibility and has its power and has its glory in not being a people of struggle and not even a people of survival and certainly not a people of sin, but it has its glory. It has its credibility in being a people of salvation. It's Romans chapter 5. It's the first 9 verses that we need to look at. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, have you? Me too. We, us too, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Him we've obtained access by faith into the grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. And endurance produces character. And character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame. Some translations will say right there, hope does not disappoint. Hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Hey, me too. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. We talked about what we are not here to celebrate this morning. We talked about being a people of certain things. And we've gotten down now to the best part of all. Let's save the best for last. That we are a people of salvation. But understand this. We are not celebrating being a people of salvation, and that we are a people of salvation because of our spiritual resumes. You don't want to show your spiritual resume to the Almighty God. You don't want to show up on your day of individual judgment and hand God your spiritual resume and expect good things. We're not here celebrating our spiritual resumes. We're here celebrating His. For while we were still weak, yet sinners, at the right time, Christ died for who? Those with the right resume? Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die, hardly die, for a righteous person. Though perhaps, maybe for a good person, some would dare to die. But God shows His love for us, and that while we were still sinners, yet sinners, some translations say, Christ died for us. We are a people of salvation. Hey, let me tell you my story. That's what we're supposed to be saying. And then somebody can say, hey, me too. I remember in high school when we had to read the book. I think it was my sophomore year in high school, sophomore or junior year. We read the book, The Scarlet Letter. Anybody ever seen that book or read that book? Show of hands. The Scarlet Letter. A lot of hands in certain age brackets. Hey, impressive, even down here. Okay. The Scarlet Letter. And you know, she's walking around with that letter A. It's been a long time, but am I right? It was the letter A. The letter A, so that everybody knows. Oh, reminds me of the woman that Jesus dealt with the crowd there in John chapter 8. The woman that was about to be put to death for adultery. Well, she's walking around there in the scarlet letter so that everybody sees that letter and what it means. And though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. We're a people of salvation. We're a people that wear a letter. It's not the A of adultery. It's the A, absolved. I am absolved. It is removed. It's not adultery, it's absolved. Scripture calls people in sin, you adulterous people, and they don't have to have committed what we think of as adultery. All sin, according to Scripture, is adultery against God. And so in more than one place in Scripture, the people of God, when they're not acting like the people of God, have to hear things like this: you adulterous people. That may be hard to take, but again, you've got to deal with what's there. And what's there is, you adulterous people. Don't you know that friendship with the world is enmity, hatred with God? I wear a letter A. It's not for Andy, because God already knows my name. And it's not the A of being an adulterous person. Because we are a people of salvation, it's the A of absolvement. That is gone. That is wiped away. That is it. I am absolved from the reality of my past sin. We are a people of salvation. Romans 8 and verse 1, there is now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. And we close with 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I tell you this, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Flesh and blood cannot inherit that which is eternal. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and will all be changed. For the perishable body must put on the imperishable, and the mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. We're a people of salvation. Death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death. Now, I love this. Paul begins to poke fun at death itself because of Christ. Is that the best you got? Is that all you can do? You are going to have to do better than that. You are going to have to take more than my physical tent from this earth. You are going to have to do more than give me cancer. You are going to have to do more than have me drop of a heart attack. If that's the best you can do, I've got news for you, death. Because we are a people of salvation, then regardless of my struggle, regardless of my struggle and regardless of my sin, being a person of salvation, a people, us too, of salvation, I can needle death a little bit myself. Where's your victory? Where's your sting? Is that the best you got? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Why is it not in vain? It's because though we are a people of struggle and a people of sin, we are a people of salvation. Can you say, me too? See, God's the originator of the me too, us too movement. God is the originator of all of that. And He wants you to be able to say that. Can you say that this morning? I'm going to tell you that while we're letting God be God, because I know through conversations personally with you and with family members, I worry that some of you can't say that and understand where I'm coming from. This. Can you say, me too, though I'm a person of sin and a person in struggle, I too am in the people of salvation? Can you say that? What's your basis? Have you repented from past sins? Have you confessed the name of Jesus before man, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and you believe He died to pay for your sins? Have you done that? Have you been buried in a watery tomb we call baptism by immersion for the remission of your sins so that you can rise and walk in what we call a newness of life? Have you done that? Because, friend, I'm telling you, based on this, if you have not done that, we too have a problem with whether you can say, me too. And it's not because we wrote it, and it's not because we think it. It's because we read it. And you can too, and you probably have to. I want you to be able to say, me too. Hope you will. While together we stand and sing.